SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram. I'm your SEO strategist.
And crypto, I'm you're kind of my
enthusiast.
Yes. Okay. That's you know, I like guru. I think it's fairly applicable. But enthusiasts, you know.
I do have a call like next week with this guy from Ripple. So
okay.
Yeah, he's like a programmer. Yeah, someone hooked me up with him. But yeah, that's a different story.
That's very cool. We are, Matt and I are broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. And do remember, Matt and I are your results. If you recall, last podcast, actually podcast number 407, was cryptocurrency marketing part one. This is, you're not going to be surprised. There's no cryptocurrency challenge here. It's cryptocurrency marketing part two. Last time, yes, Matt.
So I want to take a step back and you know, you and I like have had some dialogue, but I want to talk about this. Like, so we're marketing rebels, right?
Results rebels,
right? Now, you know, when we rebranded, right? And as you know, we're like KFC, you know, eWeb Results is now EWR Digital.
Yep.
And you can see the logo there right behind you. We're, you know, falling in line with that theme. We're a little outside the box, but focused on results.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So
last one about cryptocurrency. We'll talk about that here in a second. But before we get to it, I wanted to share this review. It's from the title's Internet Director. I've been a listener for a long time. Started subscribing around podcast number 110. Wow. I have downloaded and listened to all of them. They have always provided current and relevant information on how to better your digital marketing. The potatoes are great and the meat is always edutaining. These guys are willing to answer questions and provide advice. Round one, knockout, Patif. This is from Kayak Pow. Patif, to you, we really appreciate you taking the time, leaving that. You know he's a longtime listener when he's talking about meat and potatoes. We haven't mentioned that in a minute.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the potatoes and we're going to get into the meat.
Yeah. let's do the meat now.
All right, let's do it.
So just a quick recap of last time, right? So we really, the concept is a new Bitcoin, a new cryptocurrency, not a new Bitcoin, a new cryptocurrency is coming out. It's EWR coins. Matt and I decided, hey, we should do this. This is facetious, by the way. This is the kind of the premise. And we're interested in a marketing strategy, and we've actually come to ourselves for that marketing strategy. And last time we talked about like these things, the things that you would need in a marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Web design, videos, SEO, paid promotion, press releases, display campaigns, and then remarketing. So if you're interested in those, you want to understand those, go back and check podcast number 507.
You know, so Chris, not to go into it too much, but basically there was a rebrand that recently happened. There's a coin called Matic and it's rebranding Polygon, I believe. And, you know, this is just a sign of how important marketing is. So they rebranded, they redid the website. They, you know, repositioned themselves and the coin has shot up dramatically, you know? And so, that has a lot to do with positioning and marketing. And they felt it was so important that they changed the name of their company to more reflect what they're trying to achieve in the marketplace. So, you know, and it's so powerful because I think the coins, you know, I don't know how many multiples it's gone up, but it's been significant. So,
yeah. Yeah. So the whole kind of perception people have of your business, also known as marketing, is and marketing can even go deeper than just the perception they have. It can go all the way through the experience that they have with your business.
And I was reading an article on it and they were talking about, you know, how much more friendly the website was from a usability standpoint and how they felt that was important, you know? And so again, it goes back to like, what's the core, right? The core is a solid, piece of property online, just like that's what, you know, digital, you know, currency is, or Bitcoin, like, is you own a little piece. There's even these, you know, domain names that are coming out that people are camping on. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future, but you're owning a little piece of the internet, right? Like EWRdigital.com, bestseopodcast.com, like we own that little piece of real estate on the internet. And that, you know, and when people come there, they're looking at your brand with a reflection of how you should be viewed, right? And I think right now, even if we, you know, pull it back away from digital currencies, right now with the pandemic, there's a lot of discongruity. That's not a word.
incongruity
between people's offices, right? And then maybe their showroom online or their website. And people are starting to look at their website a lot more critically and realize, hey, we need to get this up to date. And that's really one of the trends that we're seeing right now, is a lot of people reinvesting in their digital presence. And that's where it all starts. So,
and we say, like, your website should express the value and quality of service or product you provide to your customers. So, like, they need to match. It does need to have that congruence. All right. So the last thing we talked about last time was remarketing. And remarketing is so very important. We thought that we would kind of reiterate how valuable remarketing is. Matt, how valuable is remarketing?
It's probably the most important thing you can do after a good website and SEO, right? Like remarketing is, someone comes to your website and then, 94% of the time they leave and they never come back, and you have the ability to, get in front of them again, and target those, they call it window shoppers, with retargeting and remarketing, bring them back, tell them a story, for a full period of time. Even, you know, the interesting thing that I'm seeing is, you know, pixels, everybody's concerned about pixels and, you know, what's happening there. Well, a lot of this new marketing is targeting the IP of the phone, right? It's actually targeting the phone. And so if pixels go away, it doesn't really matter. Like if you have an app on your phone, they got you. You know what I mean? Do you open up the weather app? They got you, and they got your location. Like, so, you know, I think retargeting is a technology that the companies that are leveraging it are seeing tons of success. And there's so many companies that aren't leveraging it that, you know, are doing okay because, you know, they're in the internet marketing space and they're, you know, new customers are finding them. But, you know, it's really all about, once you get the traffic, you know, getting more juice out of the lemon. Right. I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but yeah, you know, get more juice out of the lemon, and remarketing helps you do that. And I really can't emphasize it enough. There's a lot of studies, there's a lot of data out there that supports it. And there's a lot of different ways you can do remarketing, Chris.
Yeah. Like,
you can do streaming video. You can do, you know, any platform that has a pixel, any social media platform that has a pixel. You can do text messages, you can do emails. Like there's so much in the context of retargeting, remarketing that you can utilize. So
there's even strategies where just because they visited your website, you can at about 30 to 50% accuracy identify their email address and start dripping them, you know, sending them an email drip campaign. By the way, email campaigns is the last thing we'll be talking about today, because it is also incredibly important and has an incredible ROI. So in summary, right, website, SEO, make sure you're placed well, because that supports so many other things that you might consider doing. And then remarketing, probably the single best use of your marketing dollars.
Pay dollars. The best use of your pay dollars by far. I would say that hands down.
100%. So that's awesome. Remarketing. All right. So let's talk about next. And we're going to throw in a couple of components here. Direct messaging, right? So one of the things we're talking about, EWR coins, there's going to be an app, right? The app's going to be on a phone. We're going to probably at some point have access to their phone number. Because there's an app, we've got push notifications, so that can be direct notifications. We'll also have SMS notifications. So talk a little bit about kind of like social chat, website chat, SMS chat, like just chat with us, Matt.
the chat function on a website produces more leads. It creates less friction of someone interacting with you out of very kind of low entry point. Hey, you have a question. Hey, you know, like I would rather text somebody than call them on the phone. But I think it's incredibly important to talk about social when you're talking about in the cryptocurrency space specifically, because really, we actually have a crypto client right now that we're having a lot of trouble getting ads approved. Okay. And so that knocks out Facebook, that knocks out AdWords. We did get approved on Quora, you know, crazy. But the reality is we're looking at alternative routes on the paid side, but those are the two big buckets. And so really you have SEO, right? And SEO, I mean, should be part of every strategy. But you got SEO, and then you got influencer and social media marketing, right? And like, that's it, because all the paid marketing just knocked out. And so, there's a lot of different ways to be social. And you got to figure out how to best communicate with your audience and develop your community. And, being active on social, I'll give you an example. Like Twitter is basically like your company's like mini press releases, right? And so it's what's going on, what you want to say publicly. It's really how you're using all the different social media platforms in the crypto world, but like social media sphere. I mean, everything has a different like use case, right? And it really depends. It's hard to say blanketly do this, but yeah, I would put a chatbot on your site. Like yeah. I would recommend it. It costs a little bit of money, but if you're trying to drive leads and get engagement, it certainly helps. It's equivalent to like if you have a bunch of forums and you're trying to capture people's information, reducing the forums reduces the friction.
Yeah.
It's been crazy. Like if you have first name, last name, and then you just say name, right? Or if you're asking for email address and phone number, and you reduce it down to like name, email address, it's crazy how much your lead rate goes up.
And yeah, I know at one point they thought it was a 10% drop for every field.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what the data says, about 10% drop for every field.
Yep. Here's another data point. So I just kind of pulled this up real quick. It's an article on LinkedIn. It says marketing experts say that implementing live chat support generates a 305% return on investment and a 20% increase in conversion rates.
Yeah. So you bundle that, right? And really what you're looking for once you get to the first page of Google and you get in traffic is how do you continue to optimize, right? And if you're talking data point of retargeting, remarketing, 400% increase in engagement, right? So now you're retargeting them and then you're adding a chatbot to your site. Like, these are not small, like 3% increases, but a 3%, a 5%, if you're doing CRO on a site, or conversion rate optimization, like you're making these small improvements. These are massive improvements, right? Yeah. And these are what we would call like low hanging fruit that you would want to do first, right? One of the big things too that I think it wouldn't hurt to mention is something like CallRail, right? Mm-hmm. So depending on the size of your organization, if you have salespeople or people answering the phone, being able to record that, it's also helpful for us to see kind of full circle the leads that are starting to come in to maybe redirect the keywords. For example, if you're selling office furniture and you want to sell modern office furniture, but modern furniture is actually modern home furniture. So you start generating those leads, then you got to like kind of transition it to something else. And so understanding that full circle is incredibly important. And then also knowing what the rest of your organization's saying. I think that that's one of the things I love about digital marketing so much is is all the data and you know, all the different ways that you can track with analytics and find out what's going on. And these data points, how do you get to these data points? Like when you're just talking about marketing or a billboard or a radio or some kind of traditional marketing, you have actual data points that you can point to say how much that this has increased, why, maybe what keyword it was, what time of day. There's all kinds of demographics that you can pull from this, as well as even understand the audience better. And so, you know, I think it's incredibly important to consider these things. And again, I would say that a lot of these things, Chris, even when we get into email marketing, people are not doing, even though that it's like the data is so strong, people are still not doing it. And, you know, it's almost like, okay, so it's almost like, you know, pulling it back to cryptos is people think it's too late. You know what I mean? It's too late. Like Chris Burris, it's too late. But it's not
EWR coin.
It's not because no, like there's so few people doing it, right? There's so few people doing it. Like even in crypto space, there's about 100 million. Here's something for Chris. So there's 100 million users, right? About when the first internet IPO went public. Okay. There's about 100 million wallets right now. Okay. And then Coinbase is about to go public. Right. And Coinbase is those guys. I don't know those guys, but I know a guy that was in one of the guys' weddings and he got an offer to go work for Coinbase like 5 years ago. And he didn't take it. He stayed at IBM and he's like kicking himself. Right. So I actually don't know those guys, but they started here at Rice here in Houston, Texas. But that's where we are in the sphere of things.
Like so. Email marketing, like not everyone's doing it. And there's a lot
of everybody's doing it. Chatbot, not everybody's doing remarketing. Almost like so many people are not doing it. If you're talking about, you know, local businesses. So these are three big things that, that again, you go back to what are the fundamentals? What are the key things to really move the needle? These are absolutely three of them. And we do talk about these things with our clients. Not all our clients are doing them. The clients that are doing them are really happy about it, right? But again, it's additional cost. It's additional work. But it's worth it if it's producing a good ROI for you. So
yes, absolutely. All right. So reiterated remarketing, talked a little bit about direct messaging, again, like social chat, website chat, social SMS chat. Let's talk a little bit about influencers and what kind of, you know, like what are the implications of influencer marketing?
So and I know, okay, you go.
Yeah, I might be in a better position to really help this because for a business that I own, My Vital C, I really turn to influencer marketing to like, okay, it goes back to these kind of education plays. Like, where do you need to expose your product to an audience? Because my particular product, people don't know that they need it, don't necessarily know that they even want it. And so you've got to spend some time educating. So I've been spending a lot of time on podcasts, which I don't know that we have listed. We'll have to fold that into our kind of marketing strategy here. Because it's a phenomenal way to educate people. If you look at, you know, the population of the US and the fact there's only 100 million wallets, there's a lot of growth opportunity and getting on podcasts could help do that. So influencer marketing, I really actually found this tool called IntelliFluence. The platform is very well put together. And what it does is you can post a project and they can, but there are a bunch of influencers out there. So you can search them and are they health related? Are they in the US? How much product do they expect you to send them, right? How much do they expect to get paid? And a lot of them don't require anything. And then they'll put together whatever it is that you want. Maybe it's a post, an Instagram post, maybe it's a video, whatever. And then that comes out. Now, one of the things that I'll share is like influencer marketing takes some budget for sure and takes some time to manage. So there may be agencies that really focus on that. I would be very diligent about what you expect from any organization that you hire to help you with influencer marketing. Because mostly what I've found so far is that a lot of people don't have much of an audience and have even less influence. over that audience?
Well, so I mean, there's a couple things to consider here, and then I can even bring it back to crypto. But, you know, these influencers are there. How engaged? You need to look at engagement, right? Yep. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. You could have a bunch of bots following you, right? You know what I mean? Or you could have a bunch of people that are not in your target niche or in your target geography, yep. Right? And so I really look at, like, engagement is really important, because I think that there's a lot of stuff going on out there that's not good. Also, in the crypto space, specifically, like John McAfee, you know, the guy invented, you know, McAfee antivirus, he's getting in trouble right now because he was pushing stuff, I guess, from prison, and you know, was getting you know, was there was some concern that he was influencing prices. And then also Tron is another coin out there that a lot of celebrities are getting behind. And there's some, you know, there's some talk that these celebrities are getting paid to push it, right? And so you got to figure out where the line is for you and like what makes sense. I think it's really best to try to, you know, the more influencers you can convert, right, to believers is really the key, because then they're going to be promoting it because they believe in it. Right. Yeah. And versus promoting it because you paid them to promote it. I think people can kind of read through a lot of that. And so I don't think anything's changed either. Right. So like people used to always pay celebrities to promote stuff, right? That's always gone there. There's always product placement. There's all that. What's happened is just, you know, there's people that have become like internet stars on YouTube or gaming or whatever it is that now this market reaches, right? So it's expanded this market. But if you can find and then even connect with through social media or Twitter or whatever, where you, you know, develop a relationship with these influencers, they could be quite powerful. I mean, that's what you pay for PR, like, organizations, is you pay for their relationships with these people to really take a look at the product to see if it's something that aligns with what they believe in. And those are the real connections. And so there is certainly a quick way to do it. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that will like write on their forehead, like whatever you want for money, or other places. And, you know, you know, again, there's like a lot of like where are you on the bell curve? Like, what are you looking for? How do you utilize it? I know some different coins will pay people in coins, you know, and that's, you know, there's some, you know, that's debatable too, of paying people in coins to help you promote with PR. Right. So there's a group called the Link Marines that promote a coin called Chainlink. Like, and is starting to be more of a budget for coins that I've seen, is where some of the coins going. A lot of the coins are going from promotion. So there's a lot of great coins out there that maybe haven't had all the hyper promotion budget that, you know, if no one knows about it, right. You know, that's the first, what does that saying go? Like, you know, if you have a bad product and you do marketing, it's just how quickly people are going to see how bad of a product you have.
Yeah.
But you know, once you have developed a good product, you really need to have good marketing. Even there's some concepts out there and beliefs. I think it's like the Content Institute. I read a few books by this guy. He believes build an audience first, or be active in the community first. And then when you have a product, you can easily distribute it. And you know, that, like we were talking yeah. If we were going to talk about Reddit or not, like, you can't just go spam on Reddit. Like, you need to be part of the community and be genuine about what you're sharing. And so, you know, while you're developing your product, you should be building relationships. I mean, I think ultimately this is all about connections. This is all about relationships, you know, game theory, all that. And so you should always be social. You should always be developing relationships, connecting with people, following up with people, keeping that link with them, right? That's what the email follow-ups, the text message follow-ups, posting on social media, is to keep that connection. So
Yeah, and really our kind of next item is social communities, and we'll lump podcasts into that, like getting out there and being in the environment. And really, this can, a lot of this can go back to your book, right? Build Your Brand Mania, where it's about identifying how do you create yourself as the expert in this environment, whatever that environment is. And you can do that through podcasts. You can do that through, you know, being a contributor on Reddit. You can do that through all sorts of, well, Quora as a great example, like providing answers on Quora, getting quality videos out there, having quality content out there. All of those things will help you grow your brand and expand the EWR coin through social communities and podcasts.
Well, you know, I appreciate the little promotion of the book there, you know, the little plug. I can tell you that book has started to penetrate. Some pretty influential people have found that book and read it and have messaged me. There's somebody that you even recently connected me with that's pretty dang influential.
Yes.
In the political space, like, you know, a lot of realtors in the Houston area. I was a guest on I hosted a podcast for somebody that did this big event at the Houston Club downtown for realtors. And a lot of people had come up and said that they had actually read the book and it's helped them in that area. And so, yeah, I mean, I can tell you that in the new economy, that really, you got to get your voice heard. You got to get out there. And again, people are going to do business with people they know, like, and trust. So like the thing is, like, whoever you are, like, you're going to connect with certain people and you're going to push other people away. And I think that that's really okay. I think really you shouldn't be trying to market to everybody. And also, if there's somebody that you don't connect with or you don't like, or doesn't believe, like, you know, and there's a lot of polarization, so you got to be careful there. But, you know, you're gonna do business with people that you like. You know what I mean? Like, and so you shouldn't cater. I don't believe you should cater to anybody, because it's going to be just really lukewarm of the engagement. You need to find whoever you connect with most, and then draw more people like that to you. I think that's the beauty in the community online. You can connect with people that have similar beliefs, and they don't have to be in your geographic area. And now, especially with like COVID, you know, people are in online communities a lot more, and they're finding people with like-minded interests, like, and there's no geographical barrier to connecting with those people. That's one of the things too about digital marketing, right? There's no barriers to it. There's no barriers to cryptocurrencies, like, as well, right? So, you know, so I think that we're in an interconnected world, and connecting with people and being social is incredibly important.
So. Yep. All right. So next, we created this whole category. It could go into reputation management on its own, as part of reputation management, but really testimonials, right? So that's one of the things that you want to be driving from. Whatever the product is, if we're looking at EWR coins, whatever, like, the mantra behind EWR coins, you want to get people out there providing testimonials about how easy it is to use, about how you like the mission, about how they connect with it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, getting people to be vocal on social media about it is important. I think it's more about the storytelling of what you're doing. I think you're speaking to, maybe if you're a wallet, like, or something like that in the space, or there's a lot of different service industries that are coming into it, you know, where you can actually go leave reviews on, like, the company, right? Versus maybe the coin. I think it's really about what the coin does. Is it efficient?
It's a mission.
Is there security to it? You know, having people talk about it and providing education marketing, I think is incredibly important to getting that message out there, telling, like, what is that problem out there that your coin solves? But also, like you were talking about, if there's anything that's servicing those coins or that industry or companies, you know, people's interactions with you there are incredibly important. Like if you're an exchange or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different, I mean, there is actually, we were talking about it this morning. Actually, there's a organization I listened to. He was on a podcast, right? And it's only about 10 people. And, you know, they can, I guess, work with companies to pay a certain percentage. And in all of it in my head, it's not that hard to like set that up, right? But to be able to give that to somebody to manage it for you is really quite nice. But
and just, it wasn't clear. And that's a situation where like, maybe you've got employees on salary and you give them the option to
They want to pay. Sorry, I didn't finish the full thought, but if someone wants to get paid in Bitcoin or another coin, you know, a certain allocation, each paycheck, like a savings rate, we were looking at like setting up potentially like a 401k or something in cryptocurrency. Yep. You know, there's a lot of different like use cases. And if you're that company, you need to have reviews for people to trust you that it's working effectively, it's smooth, there's great customer service, there's good security. Like all those things are incredibly important in this new world, this new age. So
absolutely. And testimonials are great. Now, what is the most powerful testimonial that you can find?
Video.
Without a doubt. And what would be the best way to collect, Matt? And what would be the best way to collect a video testimonial?
Chris, you're so good at teeing up plugs there.
Yeah. Hopefully no one feels what's happening underneath.
Well, you know, so when COVID hit, right, you know, we started a videography service about 2.5 years ago. For anybody out there that doesn't know, just we started a videography service. We saw it as a benefit to SEO. We saw, you know, even on the testimonial side or the about us side, like, hey, let's tell the story. Long form content's doing well. There's more engagement on the testimonials. A video testimonial is better than like someone's name in a description. Like you want that trust, you want that credibility. And then when COVID hit, it was like nobody wanted you to come anywhere. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. And so we kind of pulled off the shelf some software and finished it, right? And so basically it's a video testimonial service that Pro Testimonial, it's protestimonial.com, it's up and running. And a friend of ours had been working on it for a couple years and finally, you know, it's really working quite well. And so we put that out there and there's so many, we're getting so much great feedback. It's easy to just send a link or an email to somebody. It goes, give me access to your camera. Boom, boom, boom. Like counts down.
You can ask a question.
Yeah. I mean, and then boom, you can grab a testimony. You can put it on your website. You can put music to it. You can, you know, add some, you know, effects to it. But I mean, like use case wise, like testimonials, you can send birthday messages with it. That's one of the things we're starting to see people use it for. Realtors are using it a lot to like do different scenes and show off houses. But really it's just ease of use, right? Like it's not to say that somebody can't, you know, record on their phone and send you a message. Like it's not to say that. It's just they click on the link and then boom, it just step by step, hold your hand, walks you through it, does the whole thing, sends it. And I feel like that's like half the battle. You know what I mean? Is just, okay, what are the steps? I don't want to have to think through it. And you can send it to people and get that done. But I think that hearing like people, so we're picking up another national account and, you know, they're like, hey, we want references, right? They're like, we want references, like no problem. Here's like 8 video testimonials. They're all still our current clients. You can watch them. And if you want to talk to them, let us know. But I mean, like what's better than someone's getting in front of a camera and giving you a testimonial by their name, their company, who they are on camera? Like that's trusted, right? Yeah. Like that is absolute trust. It's not like, you know, first name, last initial, no company, like stock image or no image and text. Like, you know, the more transparent you can be, the better. And, you know, there's a lot in even body language that people need to see and pick up, right? And so I think video testimonial is, you know, absolutely the apex of the kind of review you could get. So
and that's protestimonial.com, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Actually, I see that John Perone is connected on Facebook. So patif to you, John, for connecting. And I'm going to ask.
That's bitwallet.org. Everybody, that's one of our crypto clients.
I'm going to throw this in, which is, you know, somebody asked you for EWR testimonials. And you're like, hey, here's videos and I'll put you in contact with any one of these. I've actually gotten proposals for like Amazon marketing, some of the stuff that EWR just doesn't do and really isn't on our radar to do in the future. And there are two incidences that I can think of where they're like, oh, we don't do testimonials. Like we don't do referrals. Like we're not going to put you in contact with a customer. And in my
I've seen that. They're like, we got to ask them. We're not allowed to do it. Like, what do you think of that, Chris?
Well, I think if you don't have raving fans that are willing to get on the phone with a potential future customer, provided it's not a competitor, then what quality of service do you really have? And I can tell you one of them, I engaged them anyway. I liked them. They did a good job. I'm no longer with them because they didn't knock my socks off. They certainly did. Like it was worth the money I spent, but I moved on to another company that actually did a much better job. And so I think that boils down, I would give them a good testimonial. I would even be able to get on the phone, but you probably don't want me on the phone because like I moved on after them.
Well, you know, yeah. So then it's like, why did you move on? Here's what I could tell you. Like if we're talking about in the crypto space, there's a lot of money floating around here. Okay. A lot of these big companies are just horrible. Okay. I'm gonna be flat out. Like we've picked up a lot of clients from some really big brand names, and it's all about like even why people like you used to trust. I'm reading this book actually. It's called Discovering Blockchain or something like that, or Mastering Blockchain. It's the first like textbook out there that I got, and I'm just like reading through it. And it talks about how people used to trust in brands, right? Hey, our bank's been around 100 years. You should trust us. Hey, we're a big name, right? And it's like people are selling the brand, and you're doing business with Visa or MasterCard. Like you're trusting the brand, and really the shift in the blockchain is you're trusting math. Right. You're trusting data. Right. And I think that can even be applied here, that there's a lot of these big names. And I think we're all kind of entrenched in this thinking that, oh, man, like there's such a big name that they got to know what they're doing. And like, I can't tell you how many clients we picked up where like they're like, can you like even like a year later? OK, tell us what their real strategy was. And I was like, they didn't have one. Like they were just. The margins are so big. They're just taking your money. Like they weren't doing a good job. It's very hard to build processes like we have at scale. Right. And they maybe scaled too fast, or maybe they didn't develop them, or maybe they just outsourced it to, you know, some other country or something like that. But I can tell you right now that just because a company has a big brand name does not mean they're doing good by you. The data is what proves the results, and the people that are getting on the phone, on the video for us, it's because we proved it to them, right? Yeah. It's not because, they become our friends and all that because we have a really long client retention. But the reason they did it is because we delivered results through them through data, and that's really what you want. And again, these big companies should be able to provide references. I mean, I see some of that, but you know, like I think that they're able to hide behind some of that as well.
Yeah.
In my opinion, so I think that there's some truth in it, but I think more than anything else, there's a lot of big companies that aren't doing a good job and don't really have references they can provide.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I that's not all of them, but that's certainly some that I've personally picked up clients from, so I can say that I'm not just kind of flooding, you know, what's going on out there, but it is happening as well. So,
all right, let's kind of quickly cover the last three points. So this was really reputation management. That's one of the things that you want to be managing, that you want to have a handle on. And frankly, testimonials, not just video testimonials. Obviously, those are good, but testimonials in general are pretty good for this. You think about, at some point, somebody's going to be upset with your brand, whatever, with the, you know, with the EWR coin for whatever reason.
Sure.
Right. It may be whatever Chris's hairstyle that day was off. And so now I'm upset with the EWR brand, that kind of the EWR coins. That will happen. And if you have, I don't know, 100 reviews, positive reviews, then the one bad review just looks like, you know, a cranky person, as opposed to somebody who's actually has a legitimate complaint.
And what's the data point on like people that are, that if you deliver bad service, the amount of people they'll tell versus the amount of people that will do it, like if you do something good, like it's,
I always say it's 9 to 1. Okay. I can't tell you where I got that number. And what that means is, if people, you are 9 times more likely to get a negative review than you are to get a positive review, right? Because like the negative builds up an enough emotion to drive action. And it's really hard to create so much positivity to drive enough emotion to drive action. Right. So yeah, that's the number that I use. Again, I don't have a reference for that, but I think everyone has a sense that makes sense. We're more inclined to complain to the manager at a restaurant over something, I don't know, whatever, in the food or bad service, than we are to ask the manager to come out and say, our meal was really good.
Well yeah, I think that, you know, it's so, you have to have so many positive interactions to every negative interaction, and people expect to have a positive experience. And so it's almost expected that that's what you deliver. And if you don't deliver that, that's when people get upset. And that's when people talk about it. But there's a lot of silence in, like, you know, people that are getting the level of service that they want. So if you can get those people to leave you and have reviews and have those raving fans, then that really says something about your product or your service or your coin or whatever it is you're doing. So
yeah,
your project, you know. So
okay, so reputation management, good. And we've certainly helped some people with their reputations online in the past. Next, and you got into this quite a bit, so we can just touch on it again. And I added this last minute. Just collecting and using data. Be data driven. So marketing data. So part of the marketing plan, I love the phrase, a lot of people are familiar with test and measure. And I like the concept of measure and test. Don't even do it, right? Although there's that, it's counter to another kind of concept that I have, which is ready, fire, aim instead of ready, aim, fire. But know how you're going to test it. Know how you're going to measure it as you're going out and starting to do it. Because at the end of the day, I mean, everybody at EWR is like really passionate about helping our customers. And we can get on the phone and have disagreements about like, what is the best way to help that customer? And we'll defend those points really strongly until the data comes in. And then we're like, oh, that's the right way. And you go that way.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, A/B testing is incredibly important. Heat mapping is incredibly important. And really, like, we like to, you know, early on put heat mapping on there, record the sessions of what's happening, and then, collect that data for a while. It's almost kind of like do no harm first, or let's see kind of what's going on right now, and let's collect that data. And then let's make some assumptions based on that data and best practices that we know. And then we'll A/B test that, to improve the conversion rate. And, I think that, you know, that's closing the loop, right? Like, it's not just, you know, throwing marketing to see if spaghetti hits the wall. It's really having a recommended an outlined approach to, or methodology of what you're trying to achieve and how.
You have some sort of measuring device to understand how much spaghetti hit the wall and how much.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. And to wrap this up, email marketing, right? So there's a, and we've worked with people who, like, they closed and there's no email follow-up, right? There's no, what's the next step? They maybe made a purchase, and are you kind of sending out emails that build up? One, of course, send out, hey, thanks for the purchase, we appreciate you. And then what are the drips? If it's a product that you're shipping, what are the drips that are going out to them as they're waiting to help build up that anticipation about receiving the product? Or if it's a service, what are those drips like of the testimonial videos that you've collected by using Pro Testimonial really easily? Those testimonial videos that go out and say, hey, great, you signed up for this service. It starts in 10 days because there's some sort of lag time. Hey, just, you know, dig into these testimonials so that when you start interacting with us, you already have the expectation of great results.
You know, yeah. I mean, look, nurture campaigns are incredibly important. You know, even lead scoring, right? Based on how engaged they are, maybe what they've downloaded. Have they given your email? Have they downloaded this thing? Have they, you know, set up this? Like, you can do kind of lead scoring. Also, just like with remarketing, based on certain pages or downloadables, you can put them in a different bucket, right? And then you can have targeted campaigns to them. Right. And then also one of the good rules of thumb is how often should we be sending emails? Right. So this is like a big question. How, I don't want to bother people. They get a lot of emails. Like, there's a lot of different viewpoints on it. My personal viewpoint on it is this. How do you want to interact with that customer? Do you want to be family with them? Right. So maybe it's talking to them every day or every other day, or, you know, whatever, a close friend every week. Or, you know, every couple of weeks or every month, like, depend on how, like, what that relationship is that you have with other people and how close you want to be to that client. And then that's kind of where you go. Is it an acquaintance quarterly? They might even forget who you are, right? I think really it's once a month or even up to once a day. And what's interesting is actually the data showed me the more emails you send,
the better.
The more engagement you have and the higher conversion rate you have, and people just don't want to bother people. But if you're delivering value and you're delivering good content and they want whatever it is you have, they appreciate those. Right. Yeah. And typically if they don't want them, they'll just opt out. Right.
Yeah.
And for the people that do want them, you want to connect with them as much as possible, or as much as you feel comfortable with, to, communicate whatever it is you want to communicate. Right. And I think that people keep email addresses on average 8 years or something like that. And that data might be a little old. So as long as someone typically lives in a house, they have the same, you know, email real estate. A little interesting piece of data, how before Bitcoin came out, what cryptocurrency was looking at doing in the beginning was attaching some type of cost or value to each email that was being sent because spam was getting out of control. Right. And they were going to start charging people like a stamp, you know, to send emails, because then people wouldn't just, you know, for free
spam
everybody. Right. And that was actually, you know, what one of the use cases was early on before the whole idea of Bitcoin came together.
And digital currency, cryptography. All right. And again, just to rehash, there are ways that you can take a visitor to your website, understand their email address, not 100%, and start emailing them as a follow-up. So you've got your remarketing campaign running. You've got your email remarketing campaign also running. So those are really powerful tools. So that's our marketing plan. I feel like
streaming, we have a pretty good. I mean, we didn't talk about streaming networks, but we could, like, we're already way over on time here. This has been I don't know what the right word is, but this crypto is important, and so and it's going to be more important. So, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours talking about this, I think is long overdue. But OTT networks, streaming, internet radio, there's a lot of opportunities out there, and maybe we can do another podcast about that in particular specifically. But I think that there's a lot of opportunity there, and there's not as many rules because it's not used as much, like say Facebook and Google. I just feel like they're starting to gatekeep all kinds of stuff, and that's why I think decentralization is great. So you can get that message out there. So
very cool. Well, so now if you're coming out with a digital currency, you've got the marketing plan and know who you should be working with for making that happen. And certainly John Perrone agrees with that because he's working with us. All right. Well, that wraps up the podcast. If you guys enjoy our podcast, if you connect with our podcast and find information in the podcast useful, one, we are on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you smash that subscribe button and click that little bell so that you get notifications of when the podcasts come out. We would ask that you leave us a review. You could do that on iTunes. That would be awesome. Hopefully you could make that review 5 stars. I feel like we're doing that together.
That was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it, we'll have to go back and listen.
No, I think it's perfect.
All right. So we really appreciate you guys, all of our listeners out there. You have made us the most popular SEO podcast, one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts. That is because of all of y'all. We appreciate you. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.